the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more. And the morning breaks eternal bright and fair. The saved and burnt shall gather over on the other shore. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there.
Welcome to the Lord's Challenge, our weekly quarter-hour broadcast, bringing the reality of God's Word to all people everywhere. Stay tuned as Joshua Daniel challenges us to a walk with God and the corresponding impact that'll have on our lives, families, and society today.
Now, I want to take you to the 16th chapter of Acts from the 6th verse. Now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia. But the Spirit suffered them not. See, my dear friends, if you look at the map of that region, you will find that Paul was about to retrace his steps back through Asia Minor. A vision appeared to him. The Spirit forbade him. That's the first step. He had intended, he had planned to just go visiting these churches, which was as the pattern which he followed, and the Spirit suffered them not. One of the things that my father learned very early was this: going to God, finding out His will. You will notice that many people simply don't do so. They make their plans and expect God to just be a rubber stamp. They go to God and ask Him, Lord, will you stamp my plan? Now, God does not stamp your plan. He seeks to direct your feet into His plan. But you know, the tragic thing about us is we are unwilling to wait. It is good to wait upon the Lord, the Bible tells us. But we don't wait. We want everything to be done pronto, right away. But the Spirit forbade them, said no. And that night, the reason for God's denial of their plan or forbidding their plan was revealed. A man of Macedonia appeared and said, come over and help us. Now, in all your Christian experience, if you have never heard a come over and help us, there must be something wrong, isn't it? So everybody is being well served and well helped. Is that the assumption? Hardly. As a matter of fact, where the Son of Righteousness has not risen, people don't know right from wrong. You know, as I preach righteousness, I find that heathen people who know nothing about the Lord stop and listen. They say, is there such righteousness? Is such righteousness possible? Yes, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing upon you. And you know, especially when we tell any audience, heathen audience, God is a speaking God. Boy, you jolt them, you know. with 2,000 volt electricity. God is a speaking God. Because all the gods they know are very dumb, you know. And God will speak to you. Many of them get alone and pray till God speaks to them. I find this totally missing in Christian circles. I don't know why it is, but it is totally missing, except rare exceptions here or there. It's high state of presumption which seems to rule the Christianity of today. God's voice is not there. It's all man's motor activity. My drive is going to produce nothing. And so many people are driving themselves to total nervous exhaustion. So you will find that many missionaries are having nervous breakdowns. Either they or their wives. Why? Great peace have they that love your law, and nothing shall offend them. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall rise as eagles. Why don't we see this rising as with eagles? They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Dear friends, if we do not get back to this point of recognizing that the captain of our salvation has the right to command, and he is the one to direct his people, his forces. My father used to pay much heed to this. In fact, he would stop altogether and get to prayer and ask God, Lord, do you want me to do this? And until God spoke, he would not move. Now, I found that manner of working produced great fruit. Some of my classmates in the university were Catholic priests. And you know, they used to enter into conversation with me. They could see that my definition of faith, they said, your terminology is different. What you mean by faith, we don't. Because when I spoke of faith, I spoke of the works of faith, and some of them couldn't figure that out. And when I asked them, but how did you come to be a priest? All that they could say was, we went to seminary, we stayed there so many years, and came out. As a matter of fact, one of them said to me, while we have these robes, we are vested with power. My, I want to tell you, my dear friends, if robes and tailors can give you all the power, go get it. No, not at all. You see, it is in the direction of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit forbade us. Here was Paul at a strategic point, and he was all for going back into his usual routine journeys. Something completely out of the usual was required by God at that time. And to project him into Europe was a very simple operation. You tell one of our people today, yeah, God wants you to go to some place or some continent or whatever. First, he is required to go and find supporters, those that will promise to send him £10 every month or £20 every month. First, then he must go find money for the passage. He must go on deputation for that. Now listen, that was the patented system. Do you see Paul do that? Would you say that Paul was adequately supplied with plenty of gold at that point? No, it was faith. God asked him to go, and where was this Macedonia? Fortunately, Paul was one of those learned people. I'm sure he would have found out that it was to the north of Greece. And he had a willing heart. Now, my dear people, we are asking for the day of power. The day of power has a component, a very important component. What is that component? Thy people will be willing in the day of your power. You see, so God presumes that his people who owe their salvation to the cross of Jesus are a willing people, not a people who need to be prodded along and nudged along and persuaded. No, not at all. God presumes that he has got a willing people. Can you say that you're perfectly willing? And sometimes I begin to wonder when I see large tracts of country where Jesus is not known. I was being driven to an evening meeting and I asked the pastor who was driving me, what about this whole stretch of country through which we are passing? Is there any testimony for the Lord? He said, I'm afraid there's no testimony between these two points, widely separated, perhaps a distance of 50 miles or more. But then there are other parts of the world where you can travel almost 300 miles, 400 miles, without any sign of Christian testimony. And there are new laws which are coming up where people do not want new Christian church buildings to be put up. Special permits are being called for. Why do you think that there is such tardiness amongst us? Lack of willingness and obedience. The Spirit forbade us, and the call came, come over and help us.
The speaker on this program was Joshua Daniel. He would like to know what your response has been to the Lord's challenge and would be delighted to hear from you. Please write, and if you have burdens you want to share and want prayer, do let us know. You can reach us on the World Wide Web at lefi.org, or else you can mail us at The Lord's Challenge, P.O. Box 14, South Lyon, Michigan, 48178, or in Canada, P.O. Box 31002, Windsor, Ontario, N9G2Y2. We are continually reaching out to millions in many countries, and we appreciate and we need your continuing prayerful support.